Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode.
Welcome to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal, where our goal is to change the way you practice dentistry by helping you achieve clinical, financial, and personal balance. Now, here's your host, T-Bone.
All right. So, Mike, welcome. How are you doing?
All right. Welcome. I'm doing good. How are you?
How was your trip up to Nashville? Good?
Yeah, it was pretty easy now that I live in Charlotte. One of my favorite things about living in Charlotte is, you know, two-thirds of the lectures that we give are on the East Coast.
Right.
And now two-thirds of my lectures are in that time zone or an earlier one. The thing that really sucked about living in California was always...
The overnight.
Yeah. Always having to go, losing 3 hours anytime you go to the East Coast, and then, flying back. So yeah, you would get there and it would be midnight and you're like, oh, I should go to sleep, but it's 9 p.m. back home and you can't. So I love being in Charlotte because of that and because it's a hub for American Airlines. And so I can fly almost most places in the world nonstop,
yeah, but
including Frankfurt, Germany.
So that you can get to the mothership.
So I can get to the mothership in Bensheim, yeah.
Well, so Mike, you're in your role now almost over a year now, correct?
Yeah, it was a year in September. So yeah, okay. It's been a few months
A year and a half almost. You've been what's your official title?
I'm the Director of Clinical Affairs. Yeah.
So your job is to have affairs with all the clinical team?
With any of the employees, okay. I'm allowed to, male or female, interestingly. It was kind of a catch-all term. Most of what I do is the director of Dentsply Sirona World, as Sirona World, which you spoke at last year. That's almost a full-time job.
Running a meeting?
In and of itself, yeah. And this year, since we're not playing so much catch-up, being a lot more proactive, there's going to be a lot more pre-produced entertainment bits.
Oh, good.
This year, videos, fake products.
Were you pleased with Sirona World in Orlando last year?
Yeah. To me, that was the little meeting that could.
That meeting was awesome. It's honestly one of the best meetings I've ever been to. At the end of the day, people will assume I'm biased and stuff, but it was unbelievable.
Yeah, I am biased. I could say that it's just almost beyond argument. I mean, it's like if there's one thing that Sirona used to do better than anybody, at least when it came to education, it was putting on those kinds of meetings. I mean, we spent like $1.2 million last year just on entertainment at that meeting between Seinfeld and Branson at One Republic. And that budget's going up a little this year too, even though nobody's been officially inked yet at this point. But it's all in the work. It's funny. There's a lot of back and forth with these celebrities.
Oh, it's not easy, I imagine.
No, but it's a good thing it doesn't happen in the dental office.
Well, do you actually even deal with the celebrity or you deal with their peoples?
No, you never get to the celebrity. You deal with the agents themselves who are taking a cut. And it's a weird kind of arcane way that it's set up between Live Nation and some of the other companies, how they get along. And then certain people can only represent certain geographic distributions.
So it's a mafia of some sort.
It is. And then there's just connections, too. Like, we happen to know somebody who knew Seinfeld, because otherwise it might not even get in. They won't even necessarily take.
Right. They won't even hear about it.
Listen to an invitation from like an unqualified source. Yeah, so you just can't.
Well, you didn't put your name on it because then it would have definitely been an unqualified source.
Yeah, super unqualified, kind of stalkerish source.
You know, I left Sirona World last year and Sierra World. I left that last year saying, and maybe it was I was in the moment, but I said that the big meetings are dead. I thought
the other ones.
Yeah, like ADA, Chicago Midwinter. I think that was the first nail in the coffin of those meetings.
I don't know that I'd go that far. Just because,
I would. I can.
Well, no, you can't. I just think you're wrong. Because if you look at like Chicago Midwinter, it's historically significant for companies to launch new products there. And you've just got all those dentists in and around Illinois. They want to go somewhere that's close.
No,
that's
I'm not saying those meetings are going to be gone, but those meetings are not going to be educational meetings anymore.
Oh, to your point, a couple of, it was two of the organizers of Yankee Dental told me this story. They were looking into why attendance at their meeting was dropping, like it is at Hinman and Chicago and everywhere else. Well, no, they wanted like specific reasons. Okay. And they contacted three younger dentists as part of all these people they contacted, but three of them said, we're going to Sierra World instead. And they're like, what the hell is Sierra World? And they looked into it and they're like, oh, it's this thing down in Orlando. And it's so they sent two Yankee scouts, yeah, down there without saying anything to us. And they came back and they were like, check this out. Here's what they're doing. So Yankee contacted me probably about 4 or 5 months ago. And so not at this year's meeting, which is occurring right now, but at next year's meeting, there's actually going to be a DS World
mini
track. Yeah, a mini one that takes one day. Well, we haven't signed all the paperwork yet, but we both totally agree in principle that we want to do this. And so they're going to take one day of their meeting and schedule far fewer speakers than they usually would. And we're going to put on the same kind of thing that we had down there. And so I think it's a great example of a bigger meeting going, what can we do to make it more
being nimble, right?
Yeah. What can we do to make it more exciting? What can we do to get people more interested in coming to this meeting? They don't want to have to produce something like that by themselves. And that's what we do.
Nor should they have to. I mean, that's what manufacturers are there for. They're there to partner with.
So, but it's shorter, obviously. It's not 3 days. So we're going to have Seinfeld come out and just tell like three jokes and one Republic will play one song.
No, just play the video of him.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there you go. That's even a better idea. We can just, ladies and gentlemen.
Here is a snippet.
We accidentally recorded Jerry Seinfeld, even though it's expressly said in his contract. We weren't allowed to do it.
Oh, we just took some episodes off Seinfeld and just played them. All right. So, but my point in that, why I say that is because, you know, my question, and again, I can say this since I'm not directly associated with Dentsply Sirona, is why would a company want to release any products at Chicago Midwinter, ADA, or something like that, when they can control their environment and release products and control everything at their own meeting?
Well, yeah, that's true for us. I mean, there was, you know, I mean, CEREC 27.5 was created only because
Omnicam.
You know, because of Omnicam and not wanting to wait until CEREC 30 and not wanting to wait. I mean, it just, that was the appropriate thing to do there, but most companies don't have that.
Yeah, but most companies aren't the largest company in dentistry.
Right. But even before the merger, you know, Sirona would use that to introduce things. But interestingly, last year,
you didn't introduce anything.
We didn't introduce anything. In fact, on Thursday morning, we didn't spend any time talking about products.
But I think that's kind of what made it good.
And then it ended up selling more equipment than any other meeting.
But I think, manufacturers can take a lesson from that, is that ultimately the direct sell, the hard sell that worked in the 80s and 90s is not necessary today. Because at the end of the day, people are looking to make an emotional attachment,
right,
an emotional connection. And all the stuff, all the things that, you know, all the technical details, you can, the Google and the YouTube, that stuff, right? People come in already knowing that or being able to get that. Now it's about seeing the community and the training and seeing that connection to make that. At the end of the day, it's an emotional decision.
Yeah, and that was the first time the meeting had ever been outside of Las Vegas. You know, we had about 50% of the dentists tell us they wanted to come to the East Coast. And I remember thinking, that doesn't, just because they said that doesn't mean they're going to. And so that was kind of chancy. As a result, the meeting got planned kind of late, so it was stuck being in Orlando in August. That was kind of strike two.
Awesome. Right after a hurricane came through.
And a huge shooting
at
the Rainbow Club and that you're alligator. Very familiar with. And the alligator dragged the kid away at Disney World, that two-year-old. All these Florida stereotypes, you know, popping up to life right before that.
Were those real concerns for you guys?
registration definitely slowed down after 116 people were mowed down in a nightclub or whatever it was. Definitely, you saw.
Yeah, but
the
most dentists don't walk around with AK-47s. I'm just saying.
No, and it was also Orlando in August. It was the first time we were going to a yearly thing. You know, before when it was every 5 years or two and a half, it was kind of like must see TV, where it's like, well, if I don't go to this, it's gonna be 2.5 years. And so all of a sudden, it was just a year off the heels of CEREC 30. So there's a lot of things about it that, yeah, had us all scared. I mean, we were terrified, you know, the whole time.
And it's a big investment and a big risk.
Yeah, huge investment.
You know, especially after you just made a big merger.
Right.
And so a lot of people were on the line for this. I mean, maybe even you. I don't know.
No, I hadn't been with the. I hadn't made any of the decisions. I'll be on the line this year. But I really hadn't made any of the decisions related to that. Certainly, if I would have gone on stage and laid an egg, I would have. But that is how we kind of controlled the feel and the tone of the meeting. We didn't. Nothing was sold on Thursday morning,
which I think
we
is
came
awesome.
Right out and just had fun from the beginning. I just made fun of the fact that we're in Orlando in August and just not try to hide from it. Like, hey, I realize all your body parts are sweating right now, is just to make fun of it and go, what do we have a group on August? How did we get here in August? And I think because the hotel, we rented the whole thing out.
Well, minus the four rooms for the Delta employees.
Virgin Atlantic.
I mean,
who then walked Richard Branson, yeah, out of the stage. But we could never do that to Venetian and the Plaza. It's too huge. This just happened to be a. And actually, this wasn't big enough for us. We could have used more rooms. Some people had to stay at other hotels, but the golf course was closed. So around it, it wasn't even green.
All these things made it better, by the way.
They kind of did, because everybody was forced to stay there. Everybody was forced to go to the exhibit hall. Everybody, well, they were forced. I mean, they could have gone outside, but it was sweltering.
No, that's where the food was.
So they went to the exhibit hall for the food, but they also went to the courses. And there's six restaurants there and three bars, and you couldn't go to any of those without running into four or five speakers.
No, because that's where
it's
else
like being
are you
on a cruise
go?
Ship.
Yeah, basically. I mean, that's almost even a better
even
place. We should just rent a cruise ship for one of these meetings.
Well, that's what. There's so many times though where there's like a food poisoning and it just all goes.
Yeah, but even better,
it all goes horribly. Yeah, that would be good stories from that. But it was this kind of feeling where everybody was around everybody, and you would see somebody speak, and then that night you would walk into a restaurant or they'd be there at the bar, and there was this connection between audience and speakers, the 92 speakers, that I've never seen at any other meeting. And it was just because of the fact that it was kind of hard to get off that property. It's kind of standalone. Yeah, there's nowhere to hide. No one wanted to hide, but there was just like no other place to go. And so all of a sudden it had this magical kind of feeling to it, this almost community feeling that no one expected. You know, there was no way to know that's how it was going to go down. And it did. It ended up being this thing that I'm not even sure we're going to get that. We can get that exact feeling this year.
No, I think that was unique. Vegas is going to be hard to have that kind of family atmosphere.
Right.
But I brought my kids there, and it was an unbelievable experience for them to see me in that atmosphere.
Right.
And all of
Daddy
that.
Daddy getting mobbed whenever he walks
up. But it was fun, man.
Seriously,
it was awesome.
Though. I mean, it's like the first time it's like they realize that Dad is cool. You know, for whatever, you're not just Dad anymore. It's like, oh my gosh, look at all these
and
adults.
You know, the other thing for me, I like people seeing my family,
right?
Because I really like people to realize that, because my wife will yell at me in front of people, and my
right.
kids will be like, I hate you in front of people. I'm like, so you listen, guys, I'm normal, right? It's you know, that kind of stuff. And that was really nice.
Well, it'll make you happy to hear then that we're holding a date for next year there, you know, and we are planning to go back there.
In
next
August.
Year. No, in September. September's always our month we like to go. That was just nothing kind of was available. But that will be for sure the last year we can fit there. But I think that feeling that you're talking about and that I felt, and it took me a week or two afterwards to try to kind of figure out what just happened. That was kind of amazing in a way that the other ones, even though the other meetings in Vegas were spectacular, there was nothing like the feeling of that one in Orlando.
There's something about having the whole place.
There's something about renting out the whole place that's just kind of badass.
Again, it comes back to a controlled environment, right?
Right.
And I think
everyone you saw was a dentist.
Yeah, you just
or
knew.
Like a Patterson employee or
yeah,
Sloan
you don't
employee.
Have to worry about some hooker walking by and stuff
well,
like that.
There was I mean, it's not like you know,
unless
like,
some assistant or a hygienist or a dentist is doing that on the
right.
side, right?
Well, like at the Dentsply's run a national sales meeting in 2 weeks at the Venetian. We're the small group. The big group out there is Lowe's. Well, that same time. And so it's going to be dominated by Lowe's people. And, you know, at Cereworld 2016, everybody was one of us. You know, everybody was a dentist staff, or a dental employee for a dental company. And it was very cool. So I'm looking forward to going back there next year. And I think that because of that experience that you and I had, and other people did too, people were stopping me at that meeting just going off about it.
Yeah, I mean,
and that's when it first occurred to me.
Everybody loved it.
I was so scared that it wasn't going to come off well, or there weren't going to be enough sales to justify it, that it was when people start stopping me at the meeting going, that was unbelievable. It happened at the airport as I was getting ready to fly home. Dennis just coming up going, wow, that was amazing. I had to hear it a few times before I realized it was amazing. Because if nobody would have said that, I would have gone, oh, that went well. But I wouldn't have used the word amazing or magical. But I think we can probably count on 50% of the people who were there last year coming back.
And I think you know, even though Vegas will have a different feel to it, I think it'll be actually, in some ways, a much better meeting. I think we'll have a year of more planning.
Yeah.
Understanding what to do, what not to do. I think the education now with integrating Dentsply a little bit tighter into the plan, I think we'll have a more broader range of education. So
there's going to be less repeated courses too. In fact, right now we're telling everybody no repeated courses. And so last year you probably had a couple, you might have to repeat some.
Yeah.
That said, we just don't want to do where we don't want to have a track that has two speakers doing their programs five times. What happened was, it ended up getting diluted. So there was some breakouts where the room might be set up for 150, which would have been full if they had repeated it twice or done it once. But because they were doing it three or four times, they were in there sometimes with 30 people, you know, especially the Saturday ones. If you had a Saturday breakout and it was a repeat of another one, whereas if there's a Saturday breakout, it's the only time that Tarun's talking about integration, people are going to go.
So I hope I get a bigger room this year.
You were one of the ones, as I went through the feedback, that there was a lot of requests about a bigger room. You also had one breakout. I've been meaning to tell you about this, and I haven't. Ordinary, if it was any other person on the planet, I would not do this while we were recording.
I don't care, dude.
I know you don't care. I've never seen you get negative reviews before.
Oh, I can tell you exactly what I said, but go for it.
Well, and it's just one of the like six classes you gave. You were one of the highest. You were in the top 10 ranking. Everybody loved your TED talk that you did.
Yeah, that was awesome. I enjoyed that. Stage.
And those all went big. But then in one of the breakouts, you probably got, if you're ever in Charlotte, next time you're in Charlotte, I'll show all this to you, or I'll take a picture of my phone and send it to you. 40 comments for this one breakout, which is a lot. It shows that you moved people.
Yeah.
But it was like, I was reading through and I was like, what? It was like, speaker was combative. Was like, what? And then a couple more down, it's like a speaker abused person who asked a question or something like that. And there was just these comments and I was like, oh, wow. Something happened when somebody asked a question that rankled a few people from the audience. It really, you know, really did nothing to the overall score, but I was just like, this is weird. I've never, because you look at all the other one, it's just like, T-Bone's the best in all caps and seven exclamation points. But yeah, there must have been something, but I can kind of see sometimes how I could see somebody saying something and you saying, don't be stupid.
Or
that's idiotic. Yes, or why would you?
Those are exact words I use. I know,
was it really?
I know exactly which breakout.
So what happened?
So here's what happens. Okay. So I start my program.
I think I might have it on my computer.
Okay. But I start my program and it's a sleep class. I mean, it's a sleep breakout. Okay. So I start my program when I'm talking about sleep in a short 1 or 2 hour format saying, listen, there's four steps of sleep for me. Okay. There's awareness. There's diagnosis. There's financials with medical billing, and then there's treatment. And I said, you dentists are so anal that you're only worried about the treatment phase. So let me say this up front. Do not ask me which appliance to use, because the treatment part is irrelevant to me. Okay. So sure enough, so about a quarter of the way through, some guy raises his hand and says, so can you tell me which appliance you use? And I literally go, that's the most asinine question I've ever heard. And I go, it doesn't freaking matter. Okay, because you can use any appliance, even non-Dentsply Sirona one. I don't care. I said, the point is that it's about getting the patient to the point of treatment that you need to focus on. Don't worry about what to do with the patient when you get there.
Right.
It's easy. And so, yeah, I probably got, and I was probably.
Now I'm going to play your therapist here.
Okay, perfect.
Now, Dr. Agarwal. And you guys work
me like a dog.
Dr. Agarwal, how else could you have handled that?
Well, I could have handled it like I handle in all the other classes. That's a wonderful question. Let me share with you what I use in my practice. But remember, the main focus of what I want to talk about is not what we do when we get the patient to say yes, but more about getting to that point.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast family. T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode.
I would have looked at the audience and said, does anybody know the answer to that question? Because I'm sure most of the people heard you say that at the very beginning and thought the same thing you did. And it would have been fun to walk over with the microphone and have somebody go, it doesn't matter.
I think the other thing that happens is sometimes when I get really going and I'm in my element, and part of me, for me, like Dense Place Runner World or Sierra World, is that I'm amongst my peers, you know, or at least I assume I am. And I'm assuming I'm with my family, essentially, right?
Right.
So people will ask me questions. I'll say, well, why do you ask that? I mean, you tell me what's going on in your practice. What do you think the answer is? And some people, I'll ask rhetorical questions like that. And if you don't know me, I can see where those comments come from, but it doesn't bother me. I mean, it bothers me because they left with an unpersonable impression of me, but at the same time, I caused them to make, you know, it's amazing. People write bad stuff more than they write good stuff. And I think we can take that to our practice.
Well, yeah, I think if somebody has a bad, well, I don't know. I think I'm equal. You know what? I'm the opposite.
Okay.
But I would, tend to probably write a review for a restaurant when it's fantastic. And like my wife has this new pho restaurant, you know, the Vietnamese beef.
She opened one?
Oh. She'd like to.
Okay.
But a woman.
Because I love that stuff.
Yeah, it's fantastic. This woman moved from Gastonia to Charlotte, and she had sold a couple ones she had there, and her husband died, and she wanted to be closer to her daughter. So she moved to Charlotte, and she starts this pho restaurant, and all the ones that
Lindsay, it's not pho, by the way, it's pho.
It's pho, like what the pho, yeah. And which is the name of a place in Huntington Beach. But we have such a huge Vietnamese population in Southern California that there's a lot of great pho places around, and Lindsay hadn't found a good one in Charlotte yet, and then she saw this one was just opening, and she was getting excited, and she went there. And it was fantastic. And so she's been there, I don't know, 9 or 10 times, got to know the owner, the first Yelp review up, first 5-star Yelp review. They're still averaging like 5 stars after, I don't know, like 15 reviews. And she went there last week and she's like, oh, the soup wasn't very good today. Something was off about the broth. And then she like hadn't gone there for a week or two. And I was like, are you going to Bee's again? She goes, the soup was bad that last time. I'm like, it was one time.
Yeah.
It was one. People have bad days.
Yeah, a little too much salt or something.
Yeah. You love that place. You know that. So when something happens like that, if you've been there 12 times or you've seen T-Bone speak 12 times, you still got a lot of positive reviews for that exact same course. In fact, you look at other people's reviews and it'll say, information was too basic and too vague. And then you'll go down about 7 and somebody else will say, this is perfect. This is exactly what people need who are going to start doing whatever, anterior serrate crowns. And so you see just how the same thing can be received both ways. I thought I had on my computer, this was going to be awesome though, because it was going to be like mean tweets. I was going to have you read your own bad reviews.
By the way, I thought that was the awesome other thing about awesome about Sierra World. You could live tweet through the app and I think it would flash up on the screen. So there are times I wanted to.
No, it wouldn't flash. That would have been good though.
I wanted to tweet mean stuff. just to see what would happen.
Yeah, maybe we'll do that this year where people can actually put, but I'm sure there's going to be somebody filtering it just to make sure.
Yeah, I'm sure. We hope. We assume.
Nobody's throwing. Knowing.
So how many speakers are you going to have this year? Because I haven't got my formal invitation yet, even though I've recorded a thing about my speaking spot, but that's
okay. No, you haven't got yours. Actually, none of the only people who haven't got them are the Sarek and Imaging ones, because those are the known factors for us. And the people we work with, I think they're pretty sure they know.
Yeah, of course.
They're going to be there.
I just want to know how hard I'm going to have to work. That's just ultimately what it really boils down to.
I'm going to leave that up to Javed, the head of the imaging.
So wait, I've moved over. I'm not even a Sarek consideration. I'm just only imaging now. That's horrible for me.
It's really not, though. Yeah. There's so many people who want to be Sarek speakers. And I always have this advice for people when they're like, what do I have to do to start speaking for you guys or at these meetings? I'm like, well, not talk Sarek, you know, or become something, pick a topic so specialized, but you got to pick a lane, whether it's James Klim, just all anteriors. I don't know if he's done a posterior.
I mean, he does, but I mean, he's known for his anterior work.
Right,
it's beautiful.
Right. Or Mike Scramstedt. He's going to take the whole computer apart and find every little feature and bug.
Files.
And yeah, exactly. And look for those kinds of things. Or Mike really embraced zirconia too, as well. But you look at a guy like Chris Ferrugia, who we both know. Medical billing. Perfect. Nobody's talking about that for Sirona. If somebody wanted to get into Sarek Ortho and start talking about one of the products that we now own, the MTM aligners, the simple version of that, plenty of room for that. In fact, the Ortho, Dentsply Ortho, would love to meet some GPs. And not only would they speak at CereWorld, Dentsply Ortho would love to put them on the road, go out and do lecturing for them about MTM, because there's a lot more opportunities to speak now because of all these, you know, divisions of Dentsply that are now a part of the company. And the integration part, you know, between implants and imaging.
Yeah, we don't need any more speakers there. I've got it cornered.
Well, I know.
I'm just kidding. I need help. I've brought people in. I mean, we need help. We need more people. We need more people. But, you know, see, this is what I tell people. Like, I look back, and I didn't mean to interrupt, but I did. But I look back at when I was in that stage where I was trying to break in. And it was a little bit different, I thought. We met more resistance at the time than I try to give people now. And really what it boils down to is I tell people, listen, I just can't do it all. And I don't want to be out that much.
Right.
So if you want to go do it, please, you know, prove yourself, make it happen. I will vouch for you. I will go to bat for you. Let's make it happen, because there is so much opportunity for good people to share their story and their message. And the truth is not everybody will respond to me, as you clearly pointed out.
Well, they responded to you.
Yeah, right. In a positive favor. But not everybody will respond to that person. People respond to people they connect with.
Right.
And so, you know, if you take me and put me in Europe, like, I always wonder, why don't they ever invite me to IDS? And my wife said the Europeans would kill you.
Right.
Like, they would never in their life invite you to Europe, because they are too formal and you would go over like a total flop.
Right.
And I say, so, you know, everybody has their area. You know, I stick to the U.S. and I stick to people that want to have fun.
Yeah, you're North America.
Yeah, I'm not even Mexico or Canada. Just,
well, it's interesting, because when you look at the reviews from CereWorld, there was certain breakouts where... The ones that are weird to me are the ones that get zero written response. You know, like, nobody was
moved
at least
anyway.
Yeah, at least if there's 8 to 10 angry ones. And like I said, yours was only in one, and there's maybe 8 comments out of 40. But 40 comments shows that a connection was made enough for them to take out their phone, launch the app, and review it. That's how that all got done, was through the app. But there's certain ones where the people went in and they didn't hate it.
They didn't love it.
They didn't anything. It just wasn't even worth the time of day for them to take the phone out. And those are the ones where I'm like, how do you, or like one or two reviews. It's like, oh, this is at least the ones where people really, really hated some of the people.
Was there a lot of that?
No.
No, I was going to say, because I mean, I know most of the speakers, they're all pretty good.
Yeah, this was a sponsor.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that one too.
Name that. Who, you know, had some speakers as part of their sponsorship contract. But those are the ones where I'm always like, God, that's a speaker that I'm not thrilled with. So the point being, at least if you went to Europe, they'd have a reaction.
Yes, I would
and it's not to say that, remember Were you there for the Sarek Zirconia KOL
No, I
meeting?
Couldn't make it because you guys only let us know like 3 weeks in advance.
Yeah, that's how we do stuff. That was something that for me was weird because it was an international audience. The U.S. KOLs, but all the KOLs were there from all over the world.
They're different. The U.S. KOLs are unbelievably different from almost everywhere else.
Right. I just had to slow down a little bit. And if you do it from the right viewpoint, I think you could be all right in Germany, but you wouldn't be able to just kind of let it rip.
Oh, like then do I don't here. Want to do it.
No, I know. And you may not even enjoy doing it.
How does one become a speaker for you? I mean, let's go back on that track. So a lot of people, like I'm here at the Voices of Dentistry meeting and you're coming in today. And I've been stopped by a lot of people, which is interesting. You know, this meeting has a towny meeting feel to me.
I wrote Alan an email this morning and I told him that.
You know, because, and I talked to Alan before we started. Because a lot of people come up to you and say, hey, I love listening to your podcast. And, you know, and they're like, well, who are you? Like, you know, but there's that feeling, right? And there's a vibe here. So a lot of people come to me and they say, listen, I want to do what you're doing. I'm like, well, the parts of what I do that you don't see that you don't want to do, okay? But so what do you recommend to somebody that says, you know what, there's something more in dentistry for me other than just being at the chair?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you want to start speaking, I mean, the first thing is, first of all, if it's going to be clinical.
Yeah. Well, that's the most obvious place for dentists to start.
That is the most obvious place. And obviously, you just got to get your photography.
And the photography has to be great.
Photography's got to be pretty good, which isn't that difficult to do. Your assistant should be able to do almost all of it. You know,
and it just can't be before and after, I don't think.
No, those days are over. That was the late 90s, you know, before and afters with, you know, veneer.
And look who I'm working LVI, on type of deal, yeah.
LVI came out. Let me show you all the things I can do that you can't do kind of stuff.
So I think you got to show them step by steps.
Yeah, that's what they want is they want process for the most part. And much more so than legacy Dentsply works almost exclusively with specialists versus GPs. So this is kind of a weird world for them, like at DS World, because they're having to find speakers who speak to GPs. They've only ever hired specialists who speak to other specialists. Right. Specialists, they do one thing all day long. Endo, for example. They know what they're doing. It's not all that confusing. So their meetings tend to be research-based. You know, here's what the research shows. Here's what direction we might be going in based on this research. GPs really aren't like that. They don't necessarily need a lot of research. They're more into anecdotal results because they're going to go try it and see if it works for them. And then they'll kind of make a decision based on, you know, how it happens to work for them. And they have to do so many different things too. So the first one is the photography, or even better, live video. You know, if you can get video shot while you're doing it, but you just got to pick a lane, and probably the more specific, the better. I think lecturing on aesthetics, you know, quote unquote, is probably over.
Well, it's a very filled vacuum.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just so many. What does Dentsply Sirona need help right now? You were mentioning ortho, the minor tooth movement area.
Yeah, I would say the MTM aligners, certainly. You know, we're always looking to kind of update things as well. Like even the 3D summits. You know, how long have you been lecturing? How many of those have you done? 60, 70? I don't know. It started long before I came. Okay. At a certain point, you have to freshen it up. And it's not even really, you know, it's not like there's a lot of repeat attendees. But if you're relying on somebody like Patterson, the exclusive distributor of certain Sirona products, if you're relying on them to do it, they've gone to their dentist and they've talked about it. And if the course hasn't changed much since 2014, they don't want to go back to their dentist and who are the speakers? Oh, it's the exact same. Yeah, the exact same lineup.
With the same slides, the same everything. Yeah.
Yeah, with the same everything that they've seen before. So even if we're not putting classified ads out, say wanted speaker on whatever, anybody who's got an interesting point of view or interesting techniques or happens to document it really well or is just engaging enough where people want to listen to them, there's always going to be room for those types of speakers. You know, for me, I obsess about finding the TED type speakers like what you did last year at Cereworld. That went over really big. When you look at the reviews of the opening session, that was, they loved it. You know, I'd like to not necessarily have the same people in back-to-back years, because it's a big ask for a dentist to, because I know what it would be like if somebody asked me to go up and do 10 to 12 minutes. I would pick that 10 to 12 minutes. And if they said, oh, we want to have you back next year and talk about something else, it's going to be like, oh,
what else is there?
I don't know. That 10 to 12 minutes I did was what I thought would be really good. Okay, hold on, let me think. And you would almost have to create
something new.
Yeah, something new, a story that you hadn't told a lot of times. So that's kind of what I obsess about. And that's a huge stage. This year it'll probably be in front of 8,000 people. Basically what I'm saying, if anybody has a great 10 to 12 minute out of the box spiel that's going to get people to think about an old problem in a new way.
You're talking about oral diagnosis of periodontal disease with the Swish test. I think that would be exhilarating.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hello, podcast family. T-Bone here, bringing you our newest live patient implant training, Full Arch Express. For dentists already placing implants and ready to level up and continue building their implant practice, this is the golden ticket. We're diving deep into full arch implants, the hottest game changer in implant dentistry. In this program, we tackle both overdentures and all-annex fixed hybrids, mastering techniques that are essential for modern, comprehensive dental care. It's about getting your hands on the tools and techniques that will replace the doubt and fear with confidence and predictability. Here's the kicker. There's live patient training right here in North Carolina. You're not just learning theories. You're in the operatory doing real work on real patient from start to finish, guided one-on-one by our expert 3D mentors. You'll learn the nuances of each approach, ensuring you can cater to a wide range of patients to maximize revenue. Speaking of revenue, with me, you know it's not just about the clinical skills. We're bringing business into this aspect too, teaching you how to integrate these advanced services profitably into your practice. So are you ready to rise up to the top in implant dentistry? Join us at the Full Arch Express. This isn't just another course. It's a career-defining leap. Head to www.3ddentist.com to enroll in our next session. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now, back to this week's episode.
I was thinking more of asking Alan Mead to do something on addiction.
Yeah.
You know, because every news story about the opioid crisis, you know, in America, and it's obviously hitting dentists as well. And I think his story.
And how open he is about it.
Yeah. I feel like if it just helped, you know, one or two dentists out there who had started, you know, dabbling in Vicodin, most likely, or Vicoprofen, or perhaps nitrous, but I think his story is more opioids. That's kind of what I'm looking for, is something that's passionate,
truthful. A therapy session with my wife would be pretty good.
With you?
Yeah, or anybody. I mean, just you name it. Maybe we put you up there and see what in the hell's going on in your head.
You know, you and I might actually do something together up there. I would just be forcing my way into it, but I really am leaning hard towards doing a live surgery on the main stage there, like we do at the summits, except instead of doing it all start to finish, I want to break it up into segments and put the TED speakers in between that.
Let's see what's going on there. Oh, there's a gusher going on. Let's break away to our next speaker.
Go ahead, Neil. See if you can't put some sort of a medical clamp on that. Is that an artery? Jesus Christ. But you usually have been the one at those 3D summits who kind of asks, you know, questions, back and forth, but you make it look fun. So I was like, oh, maybe
I only want to do things that are fun, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of where I am. You know, it's funny. I'm getting spoiled by hosting these meetings. I get to spend a lot of time kind of working on these 8 to 10 minute segments and starting to shoot. We just finished a video, spent the whole day in a hotel room with Ben, you know, one of our employees, shooting this hotel video about what happens when men are forced to room together that I'm going to show at this national sales meeting in a couple of weeks. And it probably will end up at DS World as well. But, you know, we've got a budget to make some fake product videos and the stuff that people remember.
Right. Like powder.
What's that?
Like powder.
Like Jeff Slovin gave this talk at the Patterson, that tech summit or whatever that is. I don't remember a word he said, except for this pole vaulting story that he told, which was so captivating. And I don't think he even planned on telling it. But first of all, do you know anybody who's ever pole vaulted in their life? It's just so unique.
I only see it on the Olympics every 4
exactly.
years.
Exactly. That's where we always see
it. I didn't know it existed.
It. And the fact that the CEO of our company did it in high school.
Of a $13 billion company.
And then was at a meet. That's market cap sales. Is like $5 billion. And then was at a meet in high school. And the state championship rested on his shoulders. I'm sitting in the audience listening to this story. And just when I thought I was going to go one way, it goes the other. And I'm texting Ingo, are you hearing this? And he's all, yes. And I was like, have you ever heard this story before? He said, no. And I was like, God, we got, and I haven't been able to get him to tell it again. And I'm trying to get him to tell it at this national sales meeting in 2 weeks because it's so damn good. I wish I had a pole vaulting
story. You should make him do it again.
Those kind of things.
Too bad they didn't have iPhones back then. They
could have found him on video. No, this was 2 years ago.
I'm talking about him actually doing it.
Well, I want to get pictures from his parents. I need to find somebody who knows his parents. I want to see him. I'm sure they were short shorts. Yeah,
they're probably OPs, you know?
You know, so things like that is how connections kind of created between speaker and audience without going too much, you know, over the top. And so, you know, somebody who wants to become a speaker, you have to pay attention to that part of it as well. It's very easy just to focus on the clinical content and do the great step by step. But the human attention span is only so long. And I've always tried to be entertaining while speaking because it kept me interested and awake. And I think people listen to it more as well. And it's really the stories that I tell and you tell where people remember it afterwards.
Yeah, I think that's when I went from being a good speaker to, I don't want to say that I'm a great speaker, but that's where I went from just being normal to being able to where I really make a connection and create an impact on people is when I started integrating more of the stories. It wasn't a whole, it's not a whole storytelling session, right, but something where people relate to what you're doing. Right. And then they suddenly, once they relate to you, then they pay attention better. Right. Instead of on their phone, back and forth, hearing things. I think really that's the essence of that, is capturing that time with them.
Right. But I also think that's where you and I, for example, need structure like the one Paul Homily teaches. Because otherwise...
it's a disaster.
I've gotten my fair share of comment. The most negative thing that I always got that used to confuse me, but I get it now, was... a rating of a 2 or 3 out of 5. And the feedback would say, if I wanted to see a comedy show, I would have gone to the improv.
Right, exactly.
And I was like, well, first, on one hand, I'm really happy that you thought it was like improv quality stuff. But it was like, oh, I can't just stand up here and do what I want to do, which is tell jokes and see how much I can make them laugh. There was the promise of they were going to learn something when they came. And in the beginning, I didn't have that much to teach. You know, and so I was just going out there and kind of doing that and got a lot of that feedback. It really wasn't until the Glidewell years that I realized, oh, I'm the only dentist in America who works inside of a lab, who sees all these impressions, who sees, you know, all the preps, who sees the remake numbers, who sees all the shade mistakes and all the other stuff that goes on. There's something here. There's a story here that I can tell. And frankly, I'm at another crossroads now that I'm not in the lab anymore, going, now, what is the story I'm going to tell B? And I don't know what it is yet. It's like, well, what? I'm the only dentist inside of the world's biggest dental company. So I left the world's biggest dental lab. Now I'm inside the world's biggest dental company. What can I see? What can I look for that I can tell dentists about that will be of use to them? And I don't know what that is. And I don't know if it's anything, to be honest. I mean, I might just end up doing the other meetings and not going out and lecturing anymore because, and you kind of alluded to it earlier, it looks super fun, and being on stage and speaking is super fun, but the travel there gets more difficult, and the nights in shitty hotel rooms on shitty beds like this hotel. No, I'm just kidding. Alan just happened to be walking by. I didn't even stay here.
Yet.
You would be happier. I'm going to speak for you here. You would be happier if you came in contact with 2,000 people at your teaching center than if you went out on the
and
road.
And I think they would be happier because they would get to, we would have a much deeper connection.
Yeah.
and we have that non-teaching time. Like, I think I make the best connection with people because I bring everybody to my home,
right?
The courses that I'm there with, and I get them. I want them to meet the family. I want to hang out with them at the pool table, on the deck, whatever it may be, and really get to know people.
Right.
And that to me is unbelievably important. Well, I know we have to go here in a second.
Okay.
But I have one last thing. I want to understand, how is zirconia going for Sarek?
Well, it's probably responsible for 75% to 80% of new system sales these days.
Was that expected?
It was. Well, you know, we just heard the feedback from Dennis, and I knew it from Glidewell when I saw it just blow up. Yeah, when Bruxer took off and just started dominating the world.
It essentially killed the PFM, didn't it?
Yeah, it's down under 10% right now. Well, not for bridges, but for single unit crowns, it kind of did. And I remember Roddy, who you know at the time, who was still in the U.S. for Sirona, asking me, what do you think? I said, well, your Sarek machine will do everything except the world's most popular crown. You know, it used to just do inlays and onlays. Then it did full crowns. And then, thankfully, it started being able to do Emax. And now there's a new, most popular crown that Dennis, all over, all 50 states, show a clear preference for in many situations. And the thing is, they want to cement. It's almost.
You think that's what it is? I think they also want to prep like they normally prep too.
Well, the magic of zirconia is that it can handle the shittiest of margins. You know, it'll handle the
bevel feather type.
Yeah,
margin.
It'll take a feather edge on the distal lingual.
Not like Wolseram.
A deep chamfer on the don't even say that word. A deep chamfer on the buckle and whatever in between shoulder if you want. It handles it unbelievably well. And it mills unbelievably well. So a lot of the dentists who said, I'm getting really into zirconia and your machine won't do it, and 80% of the crowns I do in my office, 85% are posterior ones, and I want to use zirconia. So in that respect, it's been huge, but we haven't just now are starting to sell the Speedfire oven by itself. And it's just rolling out right now as we speak to Dennis. And so I'm really curious to see the existing users, you guys,
how much of a tougher sell it is for someone like me than for a new user.
Zirconia?
Yeah.
Well, because you guys grew up in an era with Emax where you had to
even Empress.
Prep more. Yeah. But you learned how to prep well because of things breaking, and you got comfortable with adhesive bonding when there wasn't another choice. And, you know, lithium disilicates like Emax or like Seltra Duo are more aesthetic and more translucent than solid zirconia. So if you can make that work well and you're not having them fail on molars, it's kind of like, well, why would I switch if it's working and go to something not as aesthetic? And that's a good point. I think I can make a pretty good rationale for...
Well, the blocks are cheaper too.
The blocks are cheaper and you can cement it. And it was funny. It was Mike Scramstead of all people during the beta testing who texted me one day and he was like, oh my God, I forgot how much fun it was to cement a crown into place
instead of having to worry about how much easier.
He goes, it's just fun to slap that in
and then walk away and let your assistant clean it up
without worrying about having to get something from Contact Ease, a serrated strip, and saw your way separate these two teeth again. He's like, oh my God, I just forgot. You know, because a lot of you Sarek guys cemented all your crowns in dental school and then started adhesively bonding them because you had to. But I think you can make a pretty good rationale for putting zirconia on all molars. And then lithium disilicate anterior to that. And people might say, well, I'm fine with Emax or Celtron first molars. And okay, I mean, I get that. But I just think it's a nice dividing line there. The extra strength's not gonna hurt anybody. And the patients aren't really going to see it anyway.
And do you think there's what news coming in materials? I mean, do we see any new class of materials coming out or anything like that?
No, the only thing we're seeing is the preponderance of the more translucent zirconias.
Will we see that in Sarek? I'm sure.
I don't know if you've been seeing some of the stuff that Rella said. She continues to say it. It was just in the latest issue of the CR Journal. It doesn't demonstrate the transformational toughening that the full strength, the original ones like Bruxer did. And so the hammer test doesn't work nearly as well on the high translucency zirconia. So she points out in the newsletter that the original Bruxer is the only one that they have, you know, 6+ years of all this clinical success with. And she's recommending people be careful with these because it's kind of an unknown if they're going to show the same kind of tenacity. But that's all we've been seeing lately is more variations on zirconia here and there.
Everybody's getting in the game.
Yeah, everyone's getting in the game. There's no other like killer product that has come out that shows any signs of challenging zirconia on the lab side or the chairside side either.
So for the new dentist that's not into CEREC or not into CAD-CAM, let's say, does zirconia move the needle for a lot of people?
The fact that CEREC can do it, absolutely. Absolutely.
And how long is it 8 hours anymore?
What?
The sintering of zirconia?
In the lab.
Yes.
Yeah, in the lab. Well, you could sinter it faster in the lab if you wanted to. But the difference between sintering it chair side in whatever, 15 minutes based on the size of the crown, and the 8 hours is 8 hours squeezes every last ounce of translucency out of that old full-strength zirconia. And you can notice a difference between zirconia that comes from the lab and zirconia that you do chair side. There is a difference in terms of translucency.
Not strength, though.
No, not strength. Okay. It achieves its strength. No, it achieves its strength.
Marginal integrity, all those things.
All the physical properties are good. It's the optical properties. But of course, the huge difference is, you know, you take the one and cement it in that day, and the other one you need a leaky temporary on there for 2 weeks.
Tooth that moves around, and then you have to renumb and do all of that stuff. So
yeah, and it's just, again, it's a weird way. It's the way we all learn to do it. But when you think about it, it's a weird way to do dentistry. If there's another option and you don't have to, it'd be like taking out an old amalgam, cleaning up the tooth, putting a temporary in, having them back 2 weeks later, numb it up, clean it out, or even a composite, you know, and it's like, well, why? And if you explain that, here's my technique. And a doctor goes, well, why didn't you just put the composite on the first visit?
That's absurd.
And it's kind of like, well, why didn't you just put the crown in?
We had to have the composite mixed.
On the first visit. When none of us think it's a good idea clinically. To put a temporary,
temporary filling in.
Temporary filling in.
But it's okay to put a temporary crown on.
Yeah, because it was a necessity. And it's still the change associated with dentist workflows that I think is holding them back more than the price. You know, there's brave people like you who dove right in. Well, your story is so great that you bought it, said, this sucks, turn it back in. Sam started kicking ass with it. And you're like, to hell with this.
That guy can do it, I can do it. I'm one of the biggest advocates.
Idiot can do it, I can do it. And, yeah, it's just great. And I like that, you know, Patterson took it back and that you were willing to take a second chance on it.
It's career changing for me in many ways. In many ways, it's right. Career changing.
That's actually the talk I want to work on now, is something about taking chances. I/we, you know, we do it so much when we're kids and as young adults, whether it's making the decision to go to dental school, asking somebody to marry us, buying a house that you can't quite afford, but you're hoping everything's going to happen. You know, we take a lot of chances, and that's kind of how we create life. You know, it's by those chances we take where we're not exactly sure how it's going to turn out, where I think we find meaning and we kind of build a life for ourselves. Then we get into practice and we kind of stop taking chances. And I'm not talking about crazy chances, but it could be, yeah, I know some associates don't work, but you only want to work 3 days a week. You're going to have to take a chance and look for an associate and bring them in.
Even after failing.
Why do you mean you?
But I'm saying I've failed with an associate 3 or 4 times, right. And I still keep doing it. I mean, right. I have no choice.
And even technology, whether it's cone beam or CEREC, you know, taking a choice and going, what's the worst that can happen here? Because when you don't take those choices, life just kind of happens to you and you're kind of a slave to your circumstances versus kind of talking to peers and believing when they say that it's improved their lives and the lives of their patients and deciding to kind of take a chance. Or it could be taking a chance on Sam signing up for an Ironman and then crashing his bike. So that's not a great example. But he at least took the chance, and the chance is
you put yourself out there.
Yeah.
I think human nature is when you put yourself out there, you find a way.
Right.
I mean, our culture, our whole history of our country is that, right?
Right.
Is that we take a chance. Sometimes it's easier or harder than we thought, but we find a way. You know, I call it a risk. Mm-hmm. Okay. I always ask people, I said, what got you here today? And, you know, some people said hard work. I said, no, it's a risk. You took a risk of going to dental school because you didn't have the money to do it. You took out a massive loan to go to school.
A calculated risk.
Okay. And then I said, how you opened your own practice. Was that a risk? You took a calculated risk where you opened your own practice, bar to practice. And I say to them, you know, I say to my most of the colleagues that I'm talking to in 10 to 15 years, I said, when's the last time you took a risk?
Right.
And that's what growth only occurs when you take a risk, calculated, right. Uncalculated, whatever it is. That's the only time. That's one of the only ways you can step forward is by doing a risk.
I had to be forced into placing my first implant.
Yeah.
Jim Glywell had to he just forced me into it. He basically called me a pussy. You know, I was like, well, why aren't you doing this? And then you do it and you take a chance that you end up in the inferior alveolar nerve. How much of a chance is it though with a surgical guide? And, that's not that bad, whether it's that, whether it's sleep, whether it's incorporating sleep. Well, I don't want to have, what if physicians think?
What if there's a bite change? Oh my God, there won't be one.
Yeah. I mean, it happens like 2% of the time. And if you monitor it, you can, but yeah, so that's something I've been focusing on and trying to like figure out how. Yeah,
people got to take risks. I mean, everything you do is a risk. I mean, you get in a car, it's a risk. But people have become so averse to taking risks in their practice.
Right.
And the word risk in of itself connotates like a bad decision.
Right.
You know, but at the end of the day, it's not. I mean, your life is a, you know, everything that got you to this point in your life has been a calculated risk. Okay. And I think people should take more risks. I mean,
right. Thermofill was a risk. Remember when that came out?
Yeah.
But it couldn't be any worse than lateral condensation. And no one's arguing that 2D x-rays are better than 3D. I don't know that anybody's arguing that, but there's a risk involved with buying this equipment. More so CEREC. What if I buy this and I don't have anyone to help me?
Yeah, but that's where a good company comes in. They take it back. They support you.
Right.
And last thing I want to talk about, and then we really do have to go, is what I think the listeners is what I think makes Dentsply Sirona great is that there's an unbelievable community of people.
It was you guys.
Yeah, you know, at the end of the day, and what I love about it.
It was necessity. It was desperation.
I talked to Augens about that one day. I said, why don't you guys control this? He goes, we don't want to.
Right.
They said, we want this to be, we want to have a cottage industry where people can make a living or have an entire business model based around supporting our products, because it creates a community. And I think that's what really separates what we have to offer, is that there's a community, and that community is open.
I don't know that that's actually how it happened or not. It's a good way to tell the story, but I just think that, you know, the system continues to get easier to use, but it's still not the easiest thing in the world to use. But it was way harder when you guys got involved. I just don't think you had a choice but to gather up. And with the rise of the internet right at the same time, where you could share videos and see things, I think it was like, what are you doing? You still look at CEREC.com, and it's not like all the problems are worked out. There's still, hey, this still keeps happening. This still keeps happening.
And it's not even that. It's as the indications expand, as the technology has gotten easier for certain things, then we as a human nature try even crazier things.
Right.
Like, I remember when I got my CEREC machine, I was just happy to be able to do one or two teeth with it.
Right.
I mean, now it's like, okay, I want to try 10 teeth with it. Now people are trying like 28 teeth with it, right?
Right.
I'm like, of course you're pushing the machine to the brink when you try that, you know?
But we're probably not going to see that same type of community around like Galileo's, because it's not that. Yeah, it's not that same way. But we will, I think, around the uses of the Galileo's. And that's where guys like you come in with your training center. And I'm so glad to see you incorporated sleep. And I think you and Aaron will both be out at the meeting this year with some breakout sessions.
Yeah, I look forward to it.
Hey, man, thanks for having me on the show.
Appreciate it.
Thanks so much for listening to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal. Remember to keep striving for excellence, and we'll catch you on the next episode.